From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson at South Carolina Public Radio in Columbia today. It's Here and Now, and we're on our election road trip, Robin, with just 2 days to go until the GOP primary here.
And then the Democrats go a week after that. But, Jeremy, we're keeping an eye on other news as well. And today, Pope Francis talked to reporters and said that women can take contraceptives if they fear getting pregnant during the Zika virus outbreak. And as you know, he also said that anyone who wants to build a border wall, as Donald Trump does, is not a Christian.
Yeah, amazing comments. And Trump and his campaign firing back with one tweeting, "Amazing comments from the Pope considering Vatican City is 100% surrounded by massive walls."
Oh,
well, we will see how that plays out. But here in South Carolina, the economy is still a big issue in the campaign. But for some, so is criminal justice reform. It was right here in South Carolina that a 50-year-old black man named Walter Scott was shot by police back in April by a white police officer with the North Charleston Police, who was charged with murder and is awaiting trial. The story made national news after a video of that incident was released. North Charleston is part of Charleston County, and we met up with the county sheriff, Al Cannon, at his office in North Charleston. I asked him what he thought when he first saw that video.
You know, it was a horrible video in and of itself to see that take place. I'm not only an administrator of a police agency, I have two children that are police officers. I was greatly disturbed and saddened to see that.
Has it changed the way policing occurs in this area?
Well, I think events around the country have certainly put us to the task of looking at what we do and how we do it, and making some adjustments in terms of how we interact with the community, the impact of social media. And we're dealing with that in terms of the impact that it has in establishing the narrative of what's occurred. An incident occurs. We go out, we search the area for witnesses. We go to businesses to recover their video surveillance. We see individuals there. We try to identify them. We want to interview them. But we want that interview to be based on what they saw or heard, not what they have seen or heard on the videos that have been played before law enforcement was able to identify them and take a statement from them.
So what's a reasonable amount of time then before
that can be released? Well, in many respects, that's going to be dictated from our perspective by the circumstances. That is not acceptable to the public out there. And quite frankly, it gets taken out of our hands to a great extent by the social media. On top of that, you know, the technology is evolving. We're giving these folks new tools to use.
Do they all have cameras in your force at this point? Are they wearing body cams?
Not at this point, but mobile data terminals are new. We'll certainly have in-car cameras.
Do you think they should be wearing body cams?
Well, we have a state law that I think probably is a model state law. The law required those who law enforcement determined should be wearing cameras, but it provided funding. It allowed law enforcement to develop the policies as to when they're turned on, when they're turned off. Are they subject to Freedom of Information Act?
So you wouldn't be in favor of all officers wearing body cams that are on at all times?
No. And I don't know that there's anybody anywhere that realistically looks for that. When you start talking about people's privacy interests and whether or not does a witness have a right to not be filmed given a statement.
What about just interacting with the community? Do you think that the police force here and the North Charleston police force has done enough since this incident to just get to know the community better and be more in communication?
Well, you know, I think it's a work in progress. You're always working on that. But here's the challenge to us. This is not just a police issue. You're in essence talking about a relationship between the government and the people, specifically the police, who are the most visible face of government, and the minority community. And no relationship where there are problems identified in that relationship. No relationships are going to be improved to the extent that they need to be by just looking at one side of that relationship to do an introspective and make changes. So there are some challenges that the community has to accept and face.
Like what?
Well, there are young black males dying all over America. Is there a relationship between that high homicide rate, the largest cause of death for young black males 18 to 24 is by homicide at the hands of other black males? That issue, is there some relationship between that and the police shootings? I believe that you know, you've got the military that spends millions, if not billions, developing virtual training, while at the same time we have an industry that, when you look at movies and television and the lyrics in songs and those sorts of things, somehow or another we don't see the relationship there, and that industry, in effect, promotes a culture of violence, that it promotes confrontation with police. It promotes disrespect, not only for police and authority, but elders, females. I think some of those issues are very relevant in terms of societal issues that are, quite frankly, in many respects, beyond the police capacity to do.
Sheriff Cannon, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.